Thank you for calling in today to the Daily Inspiration. This is Steve Clark, and this is day 5 in our series on the world, or the Greek word cosmos. And I encourage you to listen to the first one, especially if you haven't listened to those. That was a lot of introduction, and be able to explain kind of where I'm at or what I'm teaching this week. And so that would be day 2, or the second. It would be the second day of the month is when I started. All right, so I want to remind us that there is something that God's Word tells us that we should not love. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So here, as I mentioned in the first day, that God says that he loves the world. But he's talking about a different aspect of the world. He's talking about the people of the world. And he's here again in this, or here in this passage that I just quoted out of 1 John, it's not talking about the people of the world that we're not supposed to love. We are supposed to love the people of the world. But it's the systems of the world that is what he is talking about here, that we're not to love. It also says in James chapter 4, turn there, James chapter 4, verse 4, talks about if we're a friend of the world, we're actually the enemy of God. James 4, 4, you adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So here we're told not to love the world, but also then not to be a friend of the world. And if we are a friend of the world, then we're God's enemy. Also in the same book, James chapter 1, verse 27, it says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widow in their afflictions, and to keep himself unspotted from the world, from the cosmos. We're supposed to be not to love the cosmos, the world. We're not to be friends with the cosmos. We're not to be spotted by the cosmos, even be spotted by it. And then one last verse out of Romans chapter 12, and I think these are all very good and defining verses of what we're not supposed to be loving. But James chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So here again, we have not to love the world, not to be friends of the world, not to be spotted by the world. And then in this one, it says not to be conformed to the world. The world is always wanting to make us into its mold. It's like a jello mold. You have this liquid stuff that you mix up with whatever gelatin and fruit and water and sugar and whatever else they put in jello, and it gets poured into this mold. You put it in the refrigerator, and the refrigerator, it makes it harden up. And so then you can take it out of the mold and plop it down. And if the mold looked like a cake or a boat or whatever, if it looked like something, it has its same shape, but it's just jello. It's just wiggly in that. That's in the world that wants us to conform to its mold, as we've seen in this the last few weeks with same-sex marriage and the Supreme Court making their ruling on that. Well, they don't have any right to redefine marriage, because they haven't defined marriage in the first place. God defined marriage, and he defined it as one man and one wife for life. And that's how that's what God's definition is. But man then wants to redefine it, and then the world wants to make us conform to that and say, well, this is okay, this is acceptable. Well, it's not okay. It's not any more okay than it was back in the 15, 20, 30 years ago when they said it's okay to divorce, and it's just, you know, they made rulings like that. So that's the conformity of the world. God doesn't want us to conform to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And that's renewing our mind by the word of God. The water, the word is like water that washes and cleanses. The word of God is important in our lives. And I just really stress that if you're not reading the word of God, if you're reading, you know, you like reading the Lancaster Farming, and you like reading the Fish Wrapper, and you like reading all these other things, and you're just, you know, that's what you're reading, and you're not reading the Bible, well, your mind isn't being renewed either. Your mind is being conformed to the world, because those things are not of God, most of them anyway, most of the articles and the things in there. not that they're totally evil, some of them, but it's, what are you reading? What are you feeding yourself on? Is it on things in this world, or is it on things from above? So what God is wanting us not to love, not to be conformed to, not to be friends with, and not to be spotted by, is the systems of the world. And I had 11 different systems: the religious system of the world, the political system of the world, the fashion system of the world, the entertainment system of the world, the monetary system of the world, and the political system. I don't know if I mentioned that, but the political system, and many, there's several others. And we talked about the monetary system, we talked about the political system, and today I'd like to just talk a little bit about the fashion system of the world. And as we read there in 1 John, it says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So these three things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, all of these systems fall into one of those three categories: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And the fashion system is falls into one of those three categories. Which one would it be? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life? They can even be overlapping. They can even fall into more than one of those systems, because the fashion system is definitely the pride of life, you know, to be fashionable and that. But it also can be the lust of the flesh, just wanting the flesh to be pleased in all things. And even the lust of the eyes, you look in the mirror and you say, oh, how great the clothing or whatever I'm wearing. So it can be, you know, the lust of, it can actually be all three of these things. But I want us to read a verse in 1 Peter chapter 3. Turn over there. 1 Peter. And this was very interesting when I found this discovery. Remember, now we're talking about the cosmos, the world. And when in the King James Bible, that word world is used 187 times. And Well, the word cosmos is used 187 times. It's translated 186 times into the English word world. But it's translated one time into the English word adorning. And that's what we're going to look at today. It's the same word, cosmos, is what we've been looking at, but it's translated adorning. And let's look at that. 1 Peter 3:3. Whose adorning or whose cosmos? Let it not be that outward cosmos of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold and of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time the holy women also who trusted in God adorned or cosmos themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well and not afraid with any amazement. So here this word, it's actually, that word cosmos is used 187 times as a noun, and then it's also used as a verb like 15 other times, something like that, I'm not exactly sure. But that's when it's used once as a noun, and then it's used other times as a verb. I don't want to bog you down in this, but that's where it says, who's adorning, that's the noun word, a cosmos. Who's adorning, let it not be that outward adorning, and that would be, well, that word actually is supplied in our translation. It's only used once in the Greek there, but then it is used again as a verb in verse 5. For after this manner in old time the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. So anyway, here. This is talking about women and putting on, wearing gold and putting on apparel that's costly apparel and things like that. We have other verses that talk about that too over in Peter, over in Timothy, where it talks about not to adorn with gold and jewels and precious stones. That's not quite the right quote either. Let's see, I can find it here real quick. And like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, with not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but with which becometh women professing godliness with good works. And so that's the word cosmos there. And I don't know if you can wrap your mind around that. It's a little bit difficult to understand that's the same word that it's talking about in so many other places in the Bible about this cosmos, this world. But the fashions of the world, the systems of fashion, or just this whole wanting to lift myself up instead of wanting to lift God up in our lives. We want to lift ourselves up, and we can do that in various ways. It can be with the outward clothing that we wear or the jewelry or something like that, but it also can be in our homes and how we lift ourselves up with the adornment of our homes or our vehicles that we drive, or even our horses. You know, it can be this pride of life and this, I don't know if you can understand or you can see what I'm saying here. It's not just talking about our clothing, but it's talking about the spirit of it. The spirit of it is our whole life, that our whole life is to be not lifting ourselves up, but it's to be lifting God up in our lives. So We can keep the letter of the law, but we can miss the spirit of it. And that's what God really wants us to have, is he wants us to have the spirit of it. He's not interested in us keeping some letter of the law and just dressing a certain way or whatever and missing the whole spirit of it. It's our whole life that he's talking about in these verses and in other verses. And so we can keep the church rules, but what about keeping our hearts? Are our hearts really going after these things? Are we really wanting to lift ourselves up instead of lifting God up? And if you remember in the first lesson, or the first one that I gave here, the first day with the definitions, is one of the things about the difference of the cosmos God made was he was the center of everything. But now, after sin came into the world, man is the center of everything, and that's the thing that God is not pleased with. So I'm going to quit for today, but God bless you. Thanks for calling in, and Lord willing, we'll take this subject up again tomorrow.